This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters, and welcome to another episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Brandon, and I'm recording this podcast deep within Josh's crisis suite after having another very peculiar game week. Yeah, so Josh, let me introduce you. How are you doing?
Well, I have to say, terribly, actually. I even this podcast I've been dreading, given how the week has gone.
Yeah, you've been emailing me like we're leading up to some sort of standardized test that you didn't want to take. You're sort of like, let's just do this podcast and get it over with.
I all I can say is I'm glad that Chelsea's season is mirroring my own at this point.
It makes like, for some great metaphors. It's true.
It does, because, you know, last year, you know, runaway winner in a number of leagues, highest ever finish, finished 1,530 overall, you know, very, very respectable score. This year I'm like, I feel like I'm in last place out of everybody. It's like, I feel like there are like dead teams from week one that are doing better than me.
Well, you haven't broken into the, bottom 3 million, have you?
No, I don't think so. I'm hanging tough in like the 2.3 or something, but it's been a wild ride.
Hold on, Josh. I have your score sheet opened up right here. I can tell you exactly. God. All right. Overall rank. For Rune Pig Genesis. Remember the good old days where you rebranded your team Rune Pig Genesis after Magic, like game week two?
Magic Micah Richards was not working for me. Rune Pig Genesis was the new way.
So here you sit with an overall point total of 168 and the overall rank of 2,606.
I mean, it's hard to hear that. It's hard to hear that number and then talk on a podcast. And
I'm sorry, I didn't clarify that number. That's 2,606,536.
The worst part, of course, is that you are in the top 100, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm up there. I think I've really got a chance this season. No, I'm really not faring much better. I've got 193 points, and here I am, 1,683,421. So our concern here with the always cheating branding is, do people really want to be listening to us?
It's a great question, and one that I'm scared to answer. So let's just move right on.
Well, for the sake of you, Josh, I think if people want to hit us up on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, I want to start a hashtag called Save Josh, because I think your FPL team is worth saving.
Yes,
I think we can do it.
I've come back before. I've come back from worse, actually. So this, it just everything is going wrong. I mean, the Chelsea thing, it doesn't just mirror my season, but it's really my over-reliance on Chelsea players that is really. That has really been my downfall. I mean, I should have gotten rid of Hazard weeks ago. You know, I planned to move out Azpilicueta for Kolarov 2 weeks ago, and then for various reasons didn't work out. And then, I have this problem sometimes when it comes to the international breaks, where I have a move that I'm going to do, and then I decide I'm going to wait till all of the games are done, going to hold off till Friday, and I'm going to make the sensible move, make sure there are no injuries, which is you know, like not a
sure,
it's the right,
sure.
It's the right approach.
It is, and we'll get to that in a little bit when we actually get into the Champions League action that's happening this week.
Yeah, and poor Luke Shaw. Yeah. So the problem that I have sometimes is that when I wait this long, the sensible move, the very easy move, suddenly I start talking myself into more complicated moves. I start talking about, you know, the creative things that I could do that are unique and, you know, that I'm just going to surge past everybody because I'm so smart and clever, you know. So
I'm imagining a beautiful mind scenario where you're in your apartment and you've got the big whiteboard, yeah, and you're just drawing up all sorts of schematics and whatnot.
It's actually it's more like, you know, that scene in Good Will Hunting where Matt Damon's at the chalkboard at the beginning, you know, and he's solving the impossible math equation.
Oh, I can't forget it.
Yeah, that was me. And so it's just like even hearing myself say it sounds crazy. I decided to burn 4 points and take out Depay, which is a perfectly reasonable move.
Yeah, I hate Memphis Depay. We'll talk about that a little bit later, I think.
And he only got 1 point this week, so that wasn't a disaster. And then take out Silva, which is my outsmarting myself move, to bring in Alexis Sanchez, not bring in Kolarov still, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's the easy money right there.
Easy money. When I could have the move I'd planned to make was a straight swap Aspilicueta to Kolarov, right? That would have been I would have picked up 9 points from that move.
Yeah,
and then I debate between bringing in Paye or Ayu all week.
All right. Is this true?
And I finally decide that I've got to bring in Ayu, which a very reasonable decision. I mean, all things considered, right?
I made the Ayu transfer. I made Depay to Ayu like on Monday, Tuesday.
Eventually, it will certainly bear fruit. But it seemed like the right move given they're away at Watford and then they have two matches at home after this. Whereas Paye did have a good match against Newcastle, but then they're away at Man City next week. And so I thought, well, all right, the sensible move here is Ayu, assuming that I'm going to burn 4 points, which for some reason I decided just had to happen. So
because that Arsenal midfield is a sound investment right now.
So it's just a crazy. So, you know, I mean, the team is just a mess right now. I mean, Troy Deeney is like my best player. So, I mean, I'm like chasing points now. You know, it's like this endless mess. And, you know, thankfully I did have Mahrez. I mean, that's almost like having like RSTLNE, you know, like from Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, exactly. He's the template master right
Everybody's
now.
Everybody's got that. Well, how can you not have him, right? It probably did help though, right? Because even the players like the most owned player, you know, among people who are actually paying attention, it's still only 40%, right? 40% total ownership.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you talk about those ghost ship teams where nobody's even touched them since the first game week. They likely still don't have Mahrez. Yeah. And those are your main competition right now, Josh.
I've competed against the ghost teams and, like, the fathers who set up an account for their children and use it to, like, experiment with different lineups and stuff like that. That's my main competition this year.
All right, as I said, the hashtag is Save Josh. He has an FPL squad worth saving. Let's just give the rundown of what we're going to talk about in this episode of Always Cheating. We're going to highlight our mini-league in which we have a lot of new entrants, so we'll give the top highlights in the Hail Cheaters mini league. Then we're going to review some of the big fixtures from game week 5. What do we have on the list there, Josh?
We have, oh, you put me on the spot here. We have Everton, Chelsea, Man U, Liverpool, and Leicester Villa are the three that we're going to talk about.
And a few in between, I gather. And then after that, we're going to respond to a few questions we got on our Twitter at Hail Cheaters. And then we'll close by previewing game week 6. So let's quickly go to Hail Cheaters, our FPL mini league. We want to welcome all the new managers we have now. We're up to 41 managers, and it's not too late to join the Hail Cheaters League. We have a pinned tweet over at Hail Cheaters where you can get the code, or you can go to alwayscheating.com and click on the league button. So who is in the league here? We've got a new contestant, Hippo FC.
Mm-hmm. Pat Vivette. I think he changed his team name too. I thought he had a different name before.
Well, you're following this a lot more closely than I am, Josh.
So, yeah, so he is in first place, picked up 60 points this week. Captain Mahrez, which was really a brilliant move. I mean, the kind of move that in hindsight seems so so logical.
Yeah, you know, I playing Villa on your home Sanchez. Turf. Yeah, I don't know. Sanchez just hasn't lifted off yet, but like everyone captaining Aguero, it could be any game week now where they just lift off. But I think you're right. Mahrez was such an easy solution. It was like right under your nose the whole time.
So it was Mahrez, and then his defense really came through. He had Kolarov, Koscielny, and Cedric. So that's how you get to 60.
that Southampton defense. There are a couple people in our private league that were fielding Matt Target, and I mean Matt Target looks like he does not look like a your typical Premier League defender.
It's crazy. I mean, we all bailed on Southampton too fast, right? Matt Target has 6 points in game week 3, 6 points in game week 4, 7 in game week 5. Yeah. I mean, at 4.1 million. I mean, that is better than any of my defenders. fantastic start.
So well done, Hippo FC. And then second place, we have Isle of Nabumbu.
That's right.
Cool name. And then Ajax Treesdown, which I think was up in first or second place last week.
Yeah, and Ajax actually had a pretty good Colin Bothwell. It had a pretty good week, but then I think the problem was we added 31 people last week. Yeah. And because he had 55 points. Through no fault of his own, he has moved down to third place.
Well, Ajax is less than 30 points behind Hippo FC, so still a tight race. And let's see, just for fun, the BK Broilers, my team is sitting in 32nd place, and my co-host, my good friend Josh Landon, where are you in our field of 41 managers?
I actually don't think it's on the screen. I think I've got to zip ahead a few pages to find it. And the thing is, Brandon, you know, the shame of it is the Premier League season is over in 3 weeks, and everything's going to be done. There are 33 more weeks to go.
I was going to say, can you believe that Leicester made the Champions League?
Yeah. There are still two full NFL seasons plus one game to go before the season's over.
So as you can see, this could be your one and only chance to truly destroy Josh in an FPL mini league. So join Hail Cheaters. You can find the code where I mentioned. Could it? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it could. We'll see.
All right. So that's that. Let's go and see how this all happened in game week 5. And the first match that we want to highlight was actually the first fixture of Saturday morning, Everton hosting Chelsea. And Everton wins on a Stephen Naismith hat-trick.
Incredible. I mean, this is so two weeks off, right? You know, I'm so excited for this game, even though you and I have been out quite late the night before. Like, you know you've been out late when the owner of the bar is buying you drinks at the bar you're at. I was explaining to my wife later what happened, and then I was like, oh, right. And then we went to this other bar right at the end of the night for no reason, and the owner started buying us drinks.
Yeah, so then that's the real test of your willpower, is when the owner is there buying you drinks, but you know you've got to get up early for that kickoff to pull yourself away.
That's right.
But we managed.
Yeah, I'm like 5 hours sleep. I got up for the early morning game.
It always happens when you decide, hey, let's go explore a neighborhood that we rarely go to. We were in the Lower East Side there, and hilariousness ensued.
So I got to get up for the early morning game. I have talked myself into keeping Azpilicueta and not bringing in Kolarov until game week 6. My thinking is, you know, Man City went in there and kept him scoreless a couple weeks before. And and Azpilicueta, you know, has a goal and assist already this season, picked up some bonus points.
Yeah.
There's a reasonable chance that a streaking Crystal Palace team can score a goal against Man City. You can talk yourself into this stuff.
Absolutely. Everton, classic team where they could be world beaters one weekend and get soundly smacked down the next.
Exactly. So the game starts. Some player in Everton, his name I'm forgetting, gets injured right off the bat.
Bosic.
Right, Bosic. So they bring in Stephen Naismith, and I'm actually like kind of excited about this because I'm like, well, like they probably had a more defensive formation, and now they're bringing in Naismith. It's going to open things up a little bit, and maybe like Eden Hazard can. I can't even believe I still have Hazard. It's like hard to say his name out loud, and I was like, maybe Eden Hazard could score a goal. Like this could all work out great. And instead, Naismith like. I mean, it's incredible. He turns into the Scottish Messi for, you know, 75 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was
so reminiscent of the FPL form he had at the start of last year's season. Do you remember? He was getting almost a goal every week for
a 5 million player.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think he's going to get a start this weekend?
I don't. You probably have to start a guy who gets a hat trick, right? That's like, if ever, you know. Yeah. I mean, they're away I don't know. I mean, I guess it's possible he might not start. I mean, is Besic out for a while? I guess that would be the question.
That is true. Yeah, but he's 5.3. He is a bargain. He's gone down in value, so you get in on the ground floor.
The most, yeah. So he played 82 minutes in the Chelsea game. Before that, he played 1, 11, 27, and 22 in the previous four game weeks. So certainly not anybody you'd want for long. Besic is listed at 75%. So
hey, Josh, put him in the bench boost category.
Yeah, he's a good bench boost. I mean, he's like, oh, nobody owns him. I mean, he's
so
people, yeah. So actually, yeah, it was owned by quite a few people. Actually, it looks like something like 90,000 people transferred him out in the last 4 weeks. They almost be kicking themselves right now.
So for me, there were two takeaways from Everton's performance here. One is that their central defense looked awesome. I mean, much is being made about John Stones. He looked great. We kind of harped on, or at least I did the last few weeks, is he overrated? I mean, not overrated is not quite the right word, but he didn't seem to be meeting full potential early on in the season. But he definitely came to play this weekend. And Phil Jagielka was very commanding back there, winning lots of 50-50 balls, playing beautiful balls out of the back. I thought he looked great.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, it's kind of turning into one of those seasons where if you jump on the bandwagon, it's not hurting you yet, you know? I mean, a player does well, you pick him up, he has another good week. I mean, you know, who would have thought they'd have a clean sheet at Tottenham last week, you know? I mean, I guess given the way Tottenham's played this year, that wasn't
I guess it's
horrible.
Harry Kane just scares everyone off of betting on a clean sheet against
them. I guess that's true. We're all still, anyone who played last year, we're still, you know, reeling from the Harry Kane experience.
So it was their central defense, and also Galloway, who I liked from game week one. He's back from injury, and he got an assist this game, looked pretty strong. So I'd say look at that Everton defense, and then
it's a kind of a form versus fixtures thing because the fixtures still really aren't great until week 11. They're incredible from week 11 to week 20, basically. You know, they're away at Swansea, then they play away at West Brom, then they play Liverpool, Man United, and Arsenal three games in a row.
So you're right. Yeah, defense is probably not worth the investment now, but later. But worth investing now before his value starts to really go up is Ross Barkley, probably, who looked exceptional.
Totally great. And I thought Lukaku looked really good, too. I mean, he's really, you know, he's a player that I thought about bringing. And actually, he didn't, I'm looking now. He scored 2 points three games in a row. But he looked very good in that Chelsea game.
Yeah, and he seems to really be following a role there. He's not trying to do it all himself. He's bringing his teammates into the play.
Right, exactly. I mean, he was really responsible for that first goal, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I don't know. I think that certainly when those fixtures ease up, you could see, what do they call him, a flat track bully?
Yeah.
I could see Lukaku turn to one of those.
Absolutely.
One of those kind of players.
The good Josie Altidore. So then what are our big takeaways from Chelsea's performance? I mean, what else can be said about how crap they are right now?
Yeah, nothing really. I mean, I it can't last, right? I mean, we talked about this last week or you know, when we recorded the last episode of the podcast. I don't know how a team with this much talent can stay off the boil this long, you know? I mean, they're simply too good. The team that's good cannot. I mean, this happened to Man City last year. They had a run like this, you know. I mean, it's kind of crazy that Man City have not allowed a goal through the first five games, because there was like a 15-week stretch last year where you could not have a Man City. I mean, they were poison. Every player in that team was letting in goals.
It's so true.
Yeah, so it's hard. It's just hard to say. I mean, I can't imagine it would last. Mourinho's too good of a manager. The team is too good. The real problem, I think, is the forward line. I mean, Costa does not look good, and they didn't really bring in a backup. I mean, they brought in a
Falcao.
They brought in a player who looks like Falcao. he got his hair cut, so he does look a little bit different, actually.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I don't know why Falcao was the only forward move they made. I mean, it was like they didn't watch him play on Man U last year.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, he has got a goal already, but he's just so forgettable.
Yeah, he 25 minutes are the most minutes he's played so far this year.
I'm glad you're on it with the stats right now, because I'm definitely not on it. Well, so I think the one investment...
It'd be amazing, actually, if I was so good that I was just pulling these out of my head. Maybe I should actually keep the illusion alive. Maybe I should edit this out.
If that were true, I would have put you higher than 2.6 million, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
Maybe the one transfer worth considering for Chelsea would be Begovic, who is insured starts now at 5.0. And if the Chelsea defense gets it together, which I guess is kind of a big ask.
Right.
That's a big-time keeper for 5.0.
Yeah, it could be that Begovic and Pedro are maybe – I mean, certainly if you haven't played your wild card yet, Begovic would have to be the keeper you'd look at, right?
Yeah, for
especially
sure.
If McCarthy is still going to be playing for Crystal Palace. And I don't really know if there's an update on that yet. I mean, I think Spironi is back, so
– Yeah, I guess the working theory is that Spironi's lost his place.
So if a goalkeeping rotation of McCarthy and Begovic would definitely be what I would be picking up for myself.
Yeah, Butland. Butland in there.
I'm kind of regretting passing on McCarthy. And just, I have this thing where I when it comes to defenders and keepers, I get really caught up in start security.
Yeah.
And I'd never want to bring in anybody who I think is a rotation risk. That's why I brought in Martin Skrtel instead of Gomez on Liverpool.
Yep.
But it can really come back to bite me. And this year, it's really hurting me.
I mean, McCarthy could be the first 4.0 goalkeeper to start the whole season if he keeps it up.
Is that true?
I don't know. That's just my armchair. That's my total recall that you were bragging about.
What about like Federici on Reading a couple years ago? I feel like he might have been super cheap, too.
All right. I'll buy it. Buy it. So there it is, 3-1. Everton continuing to pull points out of their behinds. We can,
they're on 8 points so far this year. Not too bad considering they've had some pretty tough games already. They've had to play Man City, Tottenham, Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, an Everton teams of old will have only drew games to this point.
And I like Roberto Martinez. I mean, I want that guy to stick around.
Yeah.
I want him to do well. He gets like, a lot of people rag on him, but I don't know. I understand why. Like, who is Everton getting who's a better manager than Roberto Martinez?
I want to see a competition.
And I think it's Martinez, not Martinez, right? Or I'm just being really pretentious.
Isn't Martinez the sort of dry cleaning that you can get?
Yeah, but only in Michigan. No one else knows what Martinizing is outside of Michigan.
I want to see a
say the word Martinizing around another New Yorker, Brandon, and see what they say. They'll look at you like you're crazy.
I want to see a version of a staring contest between Martinez and Dick Advocaat to see who can cross their arms across their chest for the longest period of time.
Yeah, Martinez, I mean, that guy is like straight handsome, right? I mean, he is like stylish. He's like, no one looks better on the pitch than him.
He's a cool-looking guy, and he's also a good role model for all those people who are shy about their receding hairlines. So
he really owns it. Yeah, we're going to turn into Men in Blazers and just talk about how bald everybody is.
All right, that's enough praising of Everton. Arsenal had a strangely lackluster 2-0 beating of Stoke City.
Yeah.
With goals. So I had an assist from Ozil in that game, and I was really cursing at a point where Ozil was in on goal, and he had a point-blank shot.
This is Ozil, right? This is what you get with Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
This game just killed me. I mean, because there's a moment, 15, 20 minutes in.
Well, because you captained Sanchez, yeah?
Yes, I captained Sanchez. I really was trying to – I was trying to make a differential, but not an insane differential. You know, I mean, I guess
– A lot of people brought in Sanchez this week. I'm sure a lot of people burned points to get him in.
Yeah, it was kind of foolish in hindsight. I mean, I'm betting on a player is out of form. So I brought in Sanchez just trying to make a difference, right? My team is stunk, and, like, not a lot of people in our leagues have him, so it seemed like there was an element of – element of surprise involved or something, or something. Yeah. I don't know. It was 1 a.m. logic. I bring him in, and Aguero goes down injured, even though I have him on my team, I'm delighted by, of course, because so many people have him captain that week. And then I have to watch Alexis Sanchez hit the post or just miss a shot. I mean, it was crazy. Like, he missed so many shots by inches in the first 40 minutes of the game. And he was actually pretty peripheral in the second half.
Yes, he was. He really did vanish. And that's what does keep me having faith in Ozil is that...
So great pass.
Great pass for the Theo Walcott goal. And he is central to a lot of what's going on in that offense. It seems like all of the play, if he's not getting the assist, he's getting the assist to the assist. And...
Maybe he gets Brandon high 5 points.
All right, so that was the Arsenal game, and then my captaincy choice, along with so many other people, Aguero in the next fixture, Crystal Palace hosting Man City, goes off as Aguero only could, off of like a sort of barely yellow card challenge in the first like 18 minutes.
Yeah, that's who he is. That's what you're getting.
So then he's on.
I've got him too. You know, I mean,
everybody has him. Yeah. Well, what's the percentage owned on Aguero right now?
Oh, I bet it's still pretty low, because if you didn't have him at the start, I mean, I feel like anyone who's playing the game fairly seriously has him, right?
Yeah. So he's still at 13.2, His price won't drop. Because he did come into the Champions League game today, Tuesday, on which we're recording. He's 31.8%, so he's getting close to Mahrez territory there.
I mean, it does feel a little bit like Robin Van Persie 2 years ago when he finally went. I mean, I actually think Aguero has looked very dangerous.
It just has not happened yet.
It is not happening for him right now.
Speaking of not happening, have either of us had a single captaincy choice work out for us this entire... I mean, I had that one Christian Benteke moment where they were playing Bournemouth.
I have not. And I guess, you know, getting six from Sanchez was
better.
Yeah, it actually... I mean, it basically accounted for my four-point hit, in a sense. It didn't, because the other move I was going to make was Kolarov. So in my head... You know, I don't know, whatever. It's twisted fantasy player logic, right? Like every player who plays well that week was a player that you were seconds away from transferring your team, and everyone who does poorly was a player you were never actually thinking about bringing in.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Wes Houlihan. I had changed the name of my FPL squad to Wes Houlihan FC.
You actually had him. Yeah, you had him in 11 times somehow. I'm still not sure how that worked out.
I used my game genie to do that. So, I mean, all good news for Man City FPL owners, because David Silva played today. He looks healthy. Aguero came off the bench in the Champions League match. So if you've stuck with David Silva, you've been rewarded. Sorry about that. Hashtag save Josh.
I have not been. We'll see. And thankfully, they've got an extremely tough game coming up. Oh, wait, no, they're home to Norwich or something? Oh, it's West Ham. Well, you know, I don't know. West Ham
is the away from home team this season.
Yeah, and they, you know, they'll sit deep and they try to catch you in the break. They've done it against Arsenal and Liverpool. So I don't know. Whatever. I'm sure Payet will have a hat trick. And I've already brought in Kolarov.
So there will be a hat trick. You are warned, Hail Cheaters.
Yeah, I actually did that Saturday morning. There was just no reason not to. I felt so foolish for not having him already. as soon as that Crystal Palace game was over and he wasn't injured, I just brought him right in.
Yeah.
So still at 5.9.
That's a bargain.
Really is a bargain.
Because there are no real clear cuts. He's second. He's Clichy's just like one point behind Mahrez for top total point getters this season.
I mean, Bakary Sagna is also. I mean, really, you actually could just pick up two Man City defenders. I mean, they've got a lot of. Very winnable. Let's see here. They're home to West Ham, away to Spurs, home to Newcastle, home to Bournemouth, away to Man U, and then home to Norwich and away to Aston Villa. I mean, if you don't have a Man City defender, you are really in trouble the next.
Yeah, I do feel a little foolish because I picked up Joe Hart with my wild card, and now I feel a little hamstrung because there's no attacking potential there.
Yeah, I was surprised
Sagna and Kolarov.
Well, you like to have heart, though, right? You've had heart in your team.
I have. I have. And, I mean, I'm still fine with it. But I was just – I felt so burned by the Man City defense last season. It was just so hard to get a read on who was going to start.
Yeah.
And so I just took the safe bet. And,
this has typically been the problem, you know, is that it's always hard to have – I mean, Zabaleta is the classic player that – he's you know, obviously he hasn't played yet this year, but he's kind of the classic the one Man City – he and company,
he's
right?
The one, they're the consistent starters for sure.
Yeah. Every now and then he'll have a week off and I guess he rotates with Sanya, right? So Sanya and Zabaleta a little bit. But I actually think – I feel like I've seen Sanya play through the middle before too, right? Is that possible?
No, I don't
recall. It's like 5'9", right? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Zabaleta's got a little bit of Ivanovic in him right now and that he's aging. And you could see some of the cracks showing last season. I mean, basically just because Man City's defense as a whole was not so great.
Yeah. I'm looking back. He started – pretty consistent for Man City. Not that this is even relevant to the conversation, but he started 32 games in 2013, 33 in 2014, and 30 last year. So, you know, not too bad. I mean, considering at least a couple of those games are probably injuries.
Yeah. Going back to my Wes Houlihan comment, let's just jump back into the fixtures.
Yeah, we didn't really like take all the meat off that joke, did we? We can really let's go back at it.
Save some of it. Save some of that for that always cheating stew we're going to be putting in a little bit later. So
that was the title for this podcast, right? The always cheating stew.
You got it. So Wes Houlihan with a goal and assist, 3-1 beating Bournemouth. And this game was only satisfying to us at Always Cheating because it proved all of the Wilson bandwagon jumpers. I mean, foolish is a little too – it's a little too early to call the bandwagoners foolish, but it
– it was satisfying to have Callum Wilson not do well. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Speaking of satisfying – Swansea Watford, unsatisfying.
Very unsatisfying.
We all brought in Andre Ayew. This is the first game where Gomez, who we all have, did not score a goal this season. Nothing to love about this game.
Yeah, I mean, Ayew is, he's very interesting player to watch, too. I don't know how closely you watch this game. It's incredible. I mean, the whole game, he's like shaking his finger at the ref and like yelling about outside. He's very energetic. He plays, you know, just like he's a very expressive face.
Yeah, I totally agree. You get the sense that, and you saw this in Alexis Sanchez last season with Arsenal, where he was trying to take on a leadership mantle,
right,
and he was always trying to rally the troops, and he was always being very – he was gesticulating. And you see, yeah, AU sees an opportunity here to be a real leader on the team, and maybe he's going a little bit overboard.
Yeah, I'll take it, though. I think
yeah, so. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Another game where Berafimi Gomez –
offside a million times.
A million times. Like I was tweeting. I tweeted about this in the Always Cheating Twitter feed. But I mean, it's
the Always Cheating Twitter feed. Wonder, whenever Swansea is playing, is basically the stat tracker for Gomez's offside calls.
It really is, because I'm so it's like enraging at this point. Like it's like, did anyone teach him what offsides is? Like. I mean, how many more goals could he have scored if he could just stay a little more onside?
Well, just
I mean,
his BPS alone.
Oh, it's killer. I mean, this guy should be reckoning at bonus points. I mean, he's been a key factor in you know, all four of the first five games.
Yeah. Well, the best part about this game is that I had Fabianski on my bench, and I was strongly considering starting him in place of Joe Hart, but I made the right choice.
Yeah. I think we talked about this in the last podcast. You just got to go with Man City right now.
Yeah. And then we have
Troy Deeney got me an assist, though.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget about your highest point-getting forward, Troy Deeney.
Now down to 5.3. I mean, the problem is everyone.
That's Stephen Naismith territory.
Everyone has moved from Deeney to Wilson, so it's just killing Deeney's value. But he actually isn't doing. I mean, I don't know. He's not doing great.
The assist was really nice. It was really well controlled. He was in the position he ought to have been in.
And his next match is away to he's away to Newcastle, home to Crystal Palace, away to Bournemouth. So. good fixture. Like, I can't bring him out yet. I don't, you know, it's got to.
Okay, how much would you be willing to bet? Not that this is a betting podcast, but how much would you be willing to bet that Troy Deeney scores a goal in those next three matches?
Oh, I would bet actual money.
Be pretty sure too. I'd be pretty confident.
I would bet 12 American dollars.
And I would have bet that one of my starting forwards, Graziano Pelle, would not score against West Brom. And of course, he didn't, because screw Southampton. I hate those guys.
Screw West Brom. I forgot how boring it is to root for Tony Pulis. God, it's like it's like we're back at Stoke again, right?
It's true.
And also, like, it's crazy that I don't have a West Brom defender right now. Like, that seems so essential.
But
right?
Boaz Myhill is just a crazy bonus point. He's gotten so many bonus points as a goalkeeper. I brought him in at the end of last season when Foster went out injured, and he did really well for me. He's a save machine. He's a BPS machine. Mm-hmm. And he's cheap, too. He's 4.5. So I guess the concern is that Lindegaard coming in on the transfer window was going to go straight into the lineup, but I don't see that happening after this match.
The lineup for Southampton was kind of strange, too. I don't know if you saw this. Mane didn't start. Maybe it was for international reasons.
He may have been fatigued from travel. I didn't follow the storyline too closely there.
24 minutes for Mane. Tadic does what Tadic does, which is that he got, you know, two goals and three bonus points in the last game and does absolutely nothing in this one.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get a yellow card.
That's true. But he did start. So, you know, there you go. And you mentioned earlier, Matt Target just racking up the points. I mean, so Ryan Bertrand, I guess he's still... You know, maybe I should stop relying on the news button on the FPL website that tells you when someone's expected back. I think he was expected back like September 5th or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that's usually pretty accurate.
Well, now it's not.
All right, we've spent far too long on this.
I would never do it for an Arsenal player.
Turgid 0-0 match. So the next fixture we wanted to dig deep into, Man United hosting Liverpool. United winning 3-1. And lots to talk about here. New guy.
Second half, certainly. The first half was atrocious.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's easy to say the first half was atrocious, but you can't have a soccer match without two halves, and the second half was great. I want to try and be positive.
We should rename the podcast that, Brandon. You can't have a soccer match without two halves.
Because frankly, you have to stick around for the second half of the Always Cheating Pod because it's we're typically slow starters.
To be honest, I actually didn't watch the first 45 minutes of this game. I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. I was really reeling from what happened.
You just locked yourself in the bathroom?
I had a brutal morning, right? I mean, nothing went well, and I couldn't go. I actually wasn't planning to watch any of the second half, and then I'm like,
so you didn't have any players in this game?
I didn't have any players in this game. I had Martin Skrtel on my bench.
Which was a smart move.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't going to.
I mean, did you agonize over that one?
No, that was an easy one. I brought him in knowing that I was going to bench him in the second week.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I should have just brought in Gomez. Yeah. But, you know, maybe Martin Skrtel is like completely unowned. So this is the kind of the problem is I'm falling prey to the differential logic too early in the season, right? It's like a player is cheap and he's playing well and you think, no, I'm not going to go for him. I'm going to go for the established veteran player who is like a million more.
I mean, where we are right now, we just have to keep pace and we have to, right?
Yeah,
I mean, not that we're keeping pace at all, but we just have to maintain.
Yeah,
if you take too many risks, you're gonna crack that 3 million barrier. So the ending of this game was a little brutal for me because I had Luke Shaw, and I got into that habit of you clock the clean sheet on the FPL app, so you're basically counting on those clean sheet points for your defender, and then of course you start. You know, monitoring the BPS points being calculated, and I'm like, cool. Now I'm weighing Luke Shaw with 8 points against my head-to-head matchup.
Oh, so he was on for two bonus points.
He was on for two before the insane Benteke goal. So I'm sitting on the couch in my living room, and my wife is trying to get out of the apartment. She's trying to, like, you know, say bye, I'm going to do this. And as she's saying goodbye to me, I just yelled, Jesus Christ! And she looks at the TV, and I mean, she's heard me yell at the TV enough times watching the Premier League. She simply asked, "Is it good or is it bad?" And I frankly didn't know what to say because the person I was head-to-head with had Benteke captained. So I lost a clean sheet, and I basically lost my head-to-head in that moment.
But so
the goal was so awesome that
Brandon,
this is
a fantasy Premier League podcast, not an awesome bicycle kick podcast. Of course, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was fucking awful, man. I mean,
beauty has no place in a fantasy Premier League.
That ball just hung in the air so long, and I swear, when I saw Benteke go up to do the bicycle, I just knew. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah,
I just knew he was going to make it.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then it was just worth sticking around for the Anthony Martial goal.
Yeah, which I thought was, I mean, you and I were texting a little bit about this game.
The commentators would not shut up about Thierry Henry.
That was annoying, but I thought it was a great goal. Like it was very different than the Benteke goal, but it was so. Was it just strikers? Not even a striker's goal. It was just a great player's goal. You know, it was just
he made the goal himself.
Yeah, and just his relentlessness, and like just that was not a goal of like a typical 19-year-old. You know, like the Raheem Sterling was not scoring those goals last year.
Yeah, I tell you what, when he got beyond Skrtel, you still weren't sure if he was going to score that goal or not.
Skrtel's a great player, right? He made him look foolish.
Yeah, and then it was a tough angle for him to slip that ball beyond the goalkeeper, and he tucked it away perfectly.
Yeah.
So let's see. I think we were talking in the last pod about how weirdly expensive he is, but 8.0 now already clocking points.
Yeah, I know.
Not such a bad deal. He started today in the Champions League match, so the faith is there with LVG.
I think, but the problem is, I think LVG already admitted that he would not be starting if Rooney were healthy. So it just depends on how you know. Do you want to bring in somebody who's probably going to go right back out?
Well, what does he mean by Rooney being healthy? I mean, he's probably like low blood pressure, you know, risk of heart attack, you know, faulty hair plugs. That's true. Never healthy.
Yeah, I mean,
he found a rhetorical loophole there, LVG.
Mm-hmm. A lot going on with old Room Pig.
So I'm still tempted. I'm continually tempted to get Benteke back into my squad.
I really wish I could. I mean, I guess if Aguero, you know, injured his knee and, you know, because I already made my one transfer. If another bad thing happened to Aguero, it would definitely be the move to burn 4 points and take him out and bring in Benteke.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't, you know, I actually can't do it without, I'd have to burn 8 points. And that's really not going to happen. So, yeah. Well, are you thinking about it? Can you do it? Could you? You can't move Pele into Benteke, can you?
I can. I do have money in the. I have funds in the bank. I could turn Pele.
You can get a loan.
I can get a loan, but I've got a Luke Shaw issue right now.
Right.
And so Luke Shaw and I have Joel Ward also in my defense, who's out with a knock. So I've got two.
Who would your three defenders be if those two were on the bench?
I'd have George R. Russell Martin, I would have Robert Huth, and I would have my main man, Rhys Oxford.
You still have Rhys Oxford?
Well,
Rhys, did you wildcard?
No, I did not. I wildcarded after I got Rhys Oxford, and I brought Rhys Oxford in after game week one, and I bought him at 4.0. There is no lower price person in the game. And he started that game. So I figured, why not? Why not jump on board with a 4.0 player that could get a start?
Yeah, so you have to bring out Shaw then, right? Because, I mean, you have there's a pretty good chance you'd only have two starting defenders this week. And his price is going to start dropping.
And I've already played my all-out attack.
Yeah, you can't even all-out attack your way out of this one.
Have we just discovered an actual use for all-out attack is when you perhaps are in this situation where you have two defenders that are injured?
I had not thought about that.
You heard it here first on Always Cheating, the greatest FPL strategy podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there could be a time when maybe you've made a transfer or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, so if you were going to not watch any game this weekend, I would suggest it would have been Sunderland Spurs.
Yeah.
Even though that Ryan Mason goal was pretty awesome. It was just a beautifully worked goal.
Yeah. There's something kind of even cooler, and this isn't fair to him because I look at her kind of badly, but the player getting injured as they score the goal.
Sure. You
know, it was a little bit like, I know we're going to get to this in a minute, but it was a little like the Nathan Dyer goal in the next game.
Absolutely. And so long as they're not getting injured doing their celebration or during a team pylon.
Right. There is a there's a player in the Detroit Lions who just came back this year, and he injured himself last year. He was out for the season. He injured himself celebrating a sack of an opposing quarterback.
Oh, man.
Okay, so on to the game of the week.
Yeah, this has to be the game of the week. It was extremely entertaining. We're watching the best player in the entire Premier League right now in Riyad Mahrez. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a really tough first.
You can't even—it's not even a joking thing to say anymore. I think in week two or three we were joking about this, but now, I mean, he's the best player in the league at the moment. That's not going to last, I wouldn't think, but he looks incredible.
Yeah, we were texting during the first half of this game, and a lot of people were suggesting, has the Leicester City bubble burst, because they didn't look great. And it pains me to say, having started Mark Albrighton this half, that he appeared to be part of the issue with them attacking. He just lacks that killer instinct, that cutting edge. Even though he seems to be an intelligent player, he's just not going to take him across the finish line. That looks so much better when Nathan Dyer came on.
Yeah, he started so well, Albrighton, that you've got to think he's got a spot for a while. But yeah, they did take him out in the 63rd minute.
Against his former club, Aston Villa. I mean, he must be thrilled that they ended up winning, but that he wasn't on the field when the action started happening.
Yeah, they brought in Inler, who was bossing around. I think he might have actually been at fault for the first goal. But, you know, I don't know. He had some Modric qualities to him.
Yeah, for sure. So
not that you would ever bring him into your fantasy team, but just...
Please, God, no.
Yeah. Nathan Dyer, that was interesting.
That was interesting. I thought he was being pretty selfish and not bringing his teammates into the
Nathan Diary.
Yeah, but you have to admit that he did change the trajectory of that team in the second half. And I mean, maybe it's after watching Brad Guzan with the U.S. men's national team over the international break, getting completely smoked by Brazil. Guzan had four goals put past him. He's just not doing himself any favors. He's kind of reminding me of Tim Howard of last season, just prone to mistakes, coming off of his line inexplicably. Like, why did he come out for that Nathan Dyer goal?
He can't last on this team, I don't think.
No.
I mean, so Shea Given has moved, right? So
who he lost his spot to last season.
Yeah, so it's Bunn, Mark Bunn.
So they basically
never heard of this guy.
They bet the farm on Brad Guzan this season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think he's in any danger of not getting a start. But it's a tough one for us Robert Huth owners, and it looks like Huth might be going down in value after tonight. But he still hasn't managed to get a shot on goal, or I don't think he's had a clear-cut chance on goal, and he hasn't kept a clean sheet.
Sometimes I feel like with Huth, we're all still remembering. I mean, the last really great season for Mark Huth was 2011, really.
Yeah, Stoke City.
Yeah, he scored six goals and had three assists that year. He had three goals and an assist in 2012. And then it's really just been, he's had two goals over the last three seasons before that.
Yeah, it's a tough one with Huth, because those two goals that were scored by Villa, one was just a perfectly executed counterattack, and the other was just an unfortunate rebound that fell to Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I mean, a sign of my poor decision making this year. I actually had two Leicester. I had Schmeichel and Morgan in this game. Morgan almost scored a goal at the start, which was so close. And Schmeichel was strange. I actually thought he'd at least pick up some save points, but Aston Villa basically. I mean, the goal they scored in the second half might have been the only shot on target they had. I mean, in fact, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
Just a strange game. Just totally changed the second half. It was very exciting. I mean, even as somebody who knew I wasn't
It was like watching a Jean-Claude Van Damme film when Mahrez just decided he was going to take the game over at the end. And he was just like, I'm growing stronger. I can take your punches and now I'll roundhouse kick you.
Even the Vardy goal was a goal that he created.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Richie Dillat. And does anybody out there own 0.3% of the people, FPL managers out there, own Richie Dillat?
Would have been smart.
Mara's just saved everybody's week there.
Yeah, so true. 39.7% of us.
So Leicester's streak continues. Unless it's Robert Huth, don't unload any of your assets there just yet.
Yep.
I mean, I can't get rid of Huth because I've got other defensive issues, as we've discussed.
Yeah. And they're away at Stoke next week. I mean, I don't fancy them to have a clean sheet there, but it's really possible.
Yeah. So the last fixture was West Ham beating Newcastle 2-0. That's a bandwagon that was worth getting on at some point.
Yeah, it's very similar to Tadic last year. I mean, I guess Payet had actually scored a goal in game week one, but hadn't really done too much the last 4 weeks. And then just exploded.
He could be one of those players that just picks up steam.
Yeah. Actually, he had an assist in the first game week and had a goal in the second. So really only had 2 weeks where he was off. Yeah, great player.
All right, so that was your game week 5.
You can tell, by the way, that neither you nor I actually watched that game.
Yep. No, I was at work, and it was like 30 minutes into the game, and I was like, oh, right, that game's happening.
Exactly.
Right,
I was on vacation all of last week. Like, I could not put away 2 hours to watch that game.
So the week's average points were 41. I came in with 36, very disappointing. And what did you have? You had 33?
No, I had 67, actually. You must have misread.
Wow, that's incredible. You must be so thrilled. Hashtag save Josh. All right, so before we do the preview of Game Week 6, we just wanted to answer a few questions that people posted to @HailCheaters on Twitter. Are you ready for this, Josh? Are you ready to answer some questions?
I'm ready.
Okay, so the first one is coming from @Tingerson. He says, should I have waited to transfer in someone playing a midweek Champions League match until after midweek? And yes. The hashtag here is #LukeShaw.
Yeah, poor Luke Shaw. I mean, let's not even, you know.
We don't want to be the fantasy people that bemoan some guy's like life-changing injury just because of a fantasy sport.
Yeah, I also. But that said, all the sanctimony. Like, there are some people who love nothing more than to attack people who like raise the idea that there might be fantasy implications to Shaw.
Yeah, right.
I saw this, and people were like, "How dare you?"
Yeah, it's not like he pulled up with the HIV virus or something like that. He could go on to live a very happy, fulfilling life in any manner of ways.
Yeah, it's obviously terrible, but we don't know him. It's not like I can like call his mom and like give her my, you know, give her my regards. And I feel bad, and now I'm curious how it's going to affect the fantasy league.
I mean, it's very noble of me to say this. In spite of me having him in my FPL squad, but I'm actually really bummed to see him out with the injury because he was looking like one of the better fullbacks in the league this season.
Totally agree, and I mean that England national team is really, that's tough.
Yeah,
I mean, so it looks like Wilshere's out until I think through the new year, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see. I think today the news was 3 months he's out at this point.
Yeah, and 3 months for Arsenal means like,
yeah, you square that
two to 3 years. Yeah, yeah, you're Abu Dhabi.
So I guess @Tingerson raises a larger question here. Now that we're getting into the meat of the Champions League group stage, mm-hmm. you have to really consider all the rotation that's going to be happening with the top four squads,
right?
And you're going to have a lot of players that are at risk of being rested either the week prior, or maybe they're going to get an injury during that midweek Champions League match.
Yeah.
How do you approach that?
I always wait until, if it's Champions League game week, I always wait until Friday, or at least Thursday. I mean, I guess there could be a situation where there's like a impending, you know, points rise, which you're certain is going to happen. And maybe then you just kind of just cross your fingers. I mean, Arsenal and Chelsea play each other this week, and they both have Champions League games tomorrow. Because they play each other, I'm not really worried about any rotation risk there.
Yeah.
Man City, I don't think you have to worry about any of those players. I mean, I guess if Silva's actually injured, maybe he's a rotation risk. I could see him possibly getting rested. I mean, that's probably just wishful thinking on my part.
Well, did he play the full 90 today?
I think he did. Yeah.
He'll start.
Yeah, he probably will.
Sorry, buddy.
That was thinking wishfully. No, I'm sure I'll start. What about you? Do you have any? Do you feel differently?
Well, no, I totally agree. Actually, all five game weeks thus far, I have made early transfers, if not transfers that weekend prior to the game week.
As the ball is going into the net.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, screw this. He's out. He's done. See you, Memphis Depay. You jackass. This was the first week where I was cognizant of the midweek Champions League games. And I mean, I guess in particular, having Silva and Aguero in my squads, I had to wait to see how it shook out with their match today. But in general, I'm always going to be waiting until Thursday or Friday to make those transfers.
Yeah, me too.
So the next question is coming in from at Jackanin. And his question is, what forwards are you liking for the medium to long term this year? With the usual names underperforming, it's a tough call. So I guess at Jackanin is kind of looking for some great mid-priced or bargain-priced forwards.
Yeah, because I forgot that we were asking for questions for tonight's podcast, I went ahead and answered this on Twitter. So you can see it twice.
You can actually pause the podcast right now and go see how well Josh can remember what he actually tweeted.
Right. So I did say that some of this we actually talked about earlier in the episode. Aguero, you really have to – just given their fixtures, you really have to hold on to him at the time – for the time being. Lukaku from game week 11 on, I think, is a really attractive prospect. I mean, he's still only 8.2 million. So not impossible to bring in, especially if you still have money from Hazard or if Alexis Sanchez, continues to underperform and you can. There are a lot of expensive players who you might own who could get injured that you could move for for a Paye or an Ayew.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think in the end it's going to come back to where it usually is, which is that you need a bunch of expensive forwards. I mean, maybe Callum Wilson will surprise us the whole year. Last year was kind of a strange one because you get by with a super cheap forward line.
Yeah, you got Danny Ings, Harry Kane,
Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But in previous years, you really needed three big names up front. And it's so frustrating to have. Berahino last year too.
Oh yeah, don't forget about Berahino the first half of the season anyway.
But having a sub six forward is so frustrating because you just never know what you're going to get, right? I mean, Troy Deeney is like, he's doing okay, but it's like I'm just getting like an assist every. It's just not fun.
You don't feel cocksure going into any game week if you've got the budget forward.
I always feel cocksure myself, but yeah.
Well, that's just a personal gift that you have yourself.
That's true. I was born cocksure.
You got to have at least one heavy hitter just to show everybody you mean business.
Yeah,
my forward line right now is Aguero, Pella, and Gomez. If I were to switch that up, I guess guys I'd be looking at would be Jamie Vardy, who's getting on the end of everything, and like I was saying earlier, Benteke is. Even though that Liverpool squad is quite strange, guy's just a fantastic goal scorer.
Yeah. Or is he a scorer of fantastic goals?
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that in light of the bicycle kick. He's just like, I mean, the people say this about Olivier Giroud,
wisdom,
right? Like
I share with you.
These guys, they were born to be forwards. They were born to be strikers. Right. You could look like a guy like Aguero, like maybe in a different world, he could have been like a Shaqiri sort of player.
Right.
Or, Gomez probably should have been a goalkeeper to prevent him from being offside so many times.
Right. That's true.
But if that Liverpool midfield starts clicking at some point when everyone is actually on the field at the same time.
Well, yeah. Did you hear that Henderson is now traveling to the United States to seek treatment?
Is he going to find a faith healer?
I don't know. Sometimes those ankle problems really, they linger. I mean, Grant Hill had that in the NBA for years and years.
And we all know about my broken toe from last summer. It's still causing me problems.
Poor toe. The only person I'll add to that list is Juve for Stoke City.
Yeah.
I really went for
my favorite wristband wearer in the Premier League.
I thought if I mispronounced his name very loudly, it would make up for mispronouncing it. But he Stoke have – they have three promoted they're playing all three promoted teams in their next five games. It can be very attractive to bring in Juve or maybe just a midfielder. I mean, Shaqiri is attractive. I wish he wasn't 7.5. Even 6.5 would be more palatable.
He's too much.
7.5 is a tricky one.
He's
you know?
Too much.
Yeah. By the way, I just saw that Shaqiri is actually 7.0. So game changer.
He's still too much.
Still too much. All right, here are the fixtures. First one is the early morning game on Saturday. Very exciting game. Arsenal visit Stamford Bridge and take on Chelsea.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is a pretty exciting matchup, right? These are both teams that are underperforming. Arsenal is still managing to get points where Chelsea isn't.
How is this the early Saturday morning game when both teams play in the Champions League on Wednesday? How is that now moved back a day or something like that?
That's a very good point. You know, somebody out there hates these guys. how can you possibly predict this game?
Everyone
is very eager to predict that Hazard is going to finally come on. But
are they eager to predict that? I feel like I can't even tempt fate by fantasizing about that happening.
I mean, are you going to be able to get him out of your squad this game week?
No, I've already made my move. I'm not going to burn four to take out Hazard at home, even against Arsenal.
Yeah. I would love to see an Ozil goal in this game, and I do see goals coming from Arsenal. I think Arsenal is going to go for it. I mean, they've never been a defensive-minded team.
Yeah.
This is an appealing fixture for Sanchez. Running at Ivanovic.
It's just hard. I just, you know, who knows? I mean, it feels like it can't last forever with Chelsea, right? I mean, until the what's that opening? The opening cup,
the Community Shield.
Yeah, until the Community Shield. I mean, Wenger had never even beaten Mourinho, right? Yeah. So, in a normal world, this is probably like a 2-0 Chelsea win, right? This is like Chelsea always beats Arsenal home 2-0. That's how they beat them at home last year 2-0.
I would be afraid that Jose Mourinho will go Super Saiyan if they lose this game too, or just for the sake of West London.
I can actually see this being a 0-0 game too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see it going completely the other way, especially early morning. You know, 3 days after the Champions League matches.
Yeah,
it's really hard to predict this one. I mean, I guess you could see rest, but. Would Sanchez or Hazard or Costa, would any of the top players really be rested in a game this big? It seems very unlikely.
Yeah, no, I agree. So what's next?
Next is Aston Villa West Brom. That's whatever. it is a West Midlands derby. Which can be kind of fun.
Got nil-nil written all over it.
You know, I didn't bring this up earlier, and it didn't work out in the end. The first half of that Aston Villa game, I was totally agreeing with what you said last week
Julian Lescott?
Yeah, about Julian Lescott. I mean, they looked so solid, and I thought, oh, great. This is a totally different Aston Villa now.
Yeah.
And that lasted about 67
minutes. It all fell
apart. So,
yeah, Micah Richards seemed to lose his cool a little bit there in the second half.
This is like a 1-1 game, right? This is like a super boring game that no one will regret not watching.
Yeah. I mean, I really
went for it there, right? There's no Aston Villa or West Brom.
I would watch it. I mean, FPL wise, it's complete trash.
Yeah.
Then Bournemouth Sunderland. This will be the game that really will. This will be the game for Callum Wilson owners to really prove what his mettle is, right?
It's true. I mean, if they have chops, they're licking them, right?
Yeah.
That was the grossest way to say that.
Well said. Well said. Man, these fixtures get sexier and sexier as you go. Yeah. Newcastle hosting Watford.
Yeah, this is Tridini's double hat trick game. You heard it here first, Brandon.
He's gonna set the new scoring record for La Liga in this game.
He's gonna have a double hat trick and 4 assists.
That's incredible.
And then somehow Kolarov is gonna get all the bonus points.
I really can't believe what I'm hearing.
The next match is Stoke Leicester. I keep waiting for Stoke to keep a clean sheet. I mean, they've had some tough games, so it's not. Jack Butland looks fantastic. I have Butland, so I'll certainly be starting him in this match.
Against the greatest player in the Premier League.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, the problem is that I have Schmeichel or Butland. So I think you got to go with the Stoke.
Yeah, that Leicester City defense cannot keep a clean sheet. So
yeah, I can't actually see a clean sheet in this game. It seems pretty unlikely.
I don't know. Stoke City is they're not built for clean sheets anymore. They're all built for this Barcelona style of football.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
Just really coming together for them.
Yeah. Back to West Brom for a minute. Did you really think that Lindegaard was going to start in this match? I did not, and I was really surprised that the Fantasy Football Scout guys were so on board with that. I mean, the guy can't be in any kind of form, right?
I agree with you. I mean, the guy has just been atrophying on the bench there at Manchester United. I totally agree. I was shocked that they were so dead certain about it. I agree with the logic that there would be no reason for Lindegaard to rot on the bench at Man U and then go rot on the bench subsequently at West Brom.
Yeah,
but I mean, perhaps there's some
chance
sort of
to earn a
deal.
Spot there, at least.
Yeah, a better chance for him to earn a spot or some sort of deal that he's going to be groomed for next season.
Yeah, playing the Capital One Cup, or if that's what you want.
Just a great dream of mine, personally.
Of course.
To play in goal in the Capital One Cup.
You're a Capital One cardholder. You know, you love that cup.
Absolutely.
Swansea Everton, which I think is of the 10 o'clock matches, that's the one that I would be the most excited
about. Oh, far
out.
This game's going to be awesome.
Yeah. This is like a total toss-up to me. I mean, I could see this being like a 3-2 game that Everton wins. I mean, I could see Swansea rolling them. It's like this game seems completely – if I were a gambler, I would not put a punt on this game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not even a cheeky punt, Brandon.
I always undersell Swansea's ability at home. They are so tough at their on their home turf.
Looked great against Man U 2 weeks ago.
Because my impulse would be to say, and that's just strictly based on their form coming off of game week 5, that Everton looks the better team. But that's naive, right?
You're being horribly naive. And then the late fixture on Saturday is Man City West Ham.
Come on, Aguero. Come on.
It's got to happen, right? It's got to happen.
It's got to happen. He's like, this season he's been like the girl that you've gone out on a few dates with, and you're like, come on, you know, this is the date, right?
And it's still not that well-owned, so I could probably, if he had a big game, I could actually shoot out of my team. It's not that like I'm going to like surpass people like in our own mini league or anything, but my overall rank would probably shoot up like 800,000.
Hey, hashtag save Josh.
That's right. As we mentioned earlier, West Ham, you know, good on the break. I don't think they'd win this game. I guess I wouldn't be stunned if there was a draw. Given the way my season's gone, I'm sure that Kolarov will not keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't even care. I just want him anyway.
That could be the superstitious concern with City coming off of this Champions League match, letting in two goals, that maybe the spell they had cast at the Etihad has been lifted and now they're just going to start leaking.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
I've got Joe Hart in goal, so you're safe.
Yeah.
I think you're safe.
Next match is Spurs Crystal Palace. That's on Sunday, of course, because Spurs are once again in the Europa League. And actually, the next three teams are all Europa. Oh, actually, no. Southampton did not make the Europa League, did they?
Yeah, because they failed to qualify against some weird country nobody's ever heard of.
So Spurs play Crystal Palace. I actually think that Crystal Palace is going to win this game. That Spurs team is just not putting it together yet. I mean, I know they had what could be an inspirational, you know, season turning win.
Yeah. What is the diagnosis on Ryan Mason? Because if he's out and Nabil Bentaleb is also out with injury.
Yeah. And they play in the Europa League on Thursday. That could be a tough match for them.
Looks like Mason is 75% chance of playing. So he could be good to start.
And that's exact, right? That's not like 65 or 78.
No, it's not. It's not 0.1% higher or lower. So
take it. Not even with a grain of salt. Take it with no salt at all.
Yeah, it's just eat it raw.
The next to last, the penultimate game is Liverpool Norwich. That should be. I would think that'd be a pretty easy win for Liverpool. Although it was nice to see Norwich pull out that 3-1 win at home to Bournemouth. I feel like Alex Neil is not getting any credit this year, and Norwich they're doing fine.
He's
you know
not.
they've got
dude,
7
that
points.
Dude looks
hard. Okay. He proper hard man. was playing like a year and a half ago. I mean, he was like a player coach in Scotland. Very interesting guy. I know he's really overdue for some praise.
Yeah. Well. I'll be rooting for Norwich in that game.
I'm going for my boy Skirtle.
Yeah, okay. So what about George R. Russell Martin, though?
No, you can't start him in that game.
I don't think I'll have a choice.
That's the only one of a choice.
Oh, sad.
The final match is Southampton, Man United. And that Southampton's at home. No Luke Shaw. I don't know. Probably no Wayne Rooney. But Southampton is not really scoring very consistently. So it's hard to pick.
I am enthused about the Luke Shaw injury as a Pella owner, because maybe that means that Pele might get service from the wings, because that seems to be the only way that he knows how to score is if a ball is crossed in from well outside.
He likes to bicycle kick it if he can.
He did have that great scissor kick against QPR last season.
So if you were a betting man, what would your guess be at the score line here?
I would guess 1-1.
Okay.
That's my bet.
Yeah, I like 1-1.
I'm really out there. What's the
coward's
prediction?
Coward's bet, but I think that's what I'd say.
Do you think that's the most in a vacuum, is 1-1 the most likely scoreline to ever happen?
That's a great question. I wonder. Yeah, like if you looked at the last 10 Premier League seasons, what is the most common scoreline? I bet 1-1, maybe 2-1.
Well, we will
maybe 1-0, 1-0.
We will be back next week to see how our predictions went. We will review
maybe with a shorter podcast. I don't know how.
We're going to keep
hour, 20 minutes
longer and longer. There's a lot of chat that I need to cut out here, Josh. So in the meantime, feel free to, you can still join our mini league, Hail Cheaters. Like I said, you can find the code on our website at alwayscheating.com, and people can find us on social media. Where is that, Josh?
Hail Cheaters on Twitter.
And our Facebook page is facebook.com/alwayscheating. And we got a great email message from somebody through the website saying, was looking for an FPL podcast. Loved hearing you guys talk about FPL. Join the league, too. And looking forward to hearing your podcast every week. That's from EE. So you can also send us messages through alwayscheating.com. Cool. And we've got 2 reviews on iTunes. Which is awesome.
That's right. That is awesome. So if you want to do that, please do it. We'd love it.
Okay, Josh, good luck to you in game week 6. I know you need it. Hashtag save Josh. Also, mm-hmm. Poku forever.
Poku forever. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.